Conversations with Swami Viswanathan. This transcribed conversation between Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavat and Swami Viswanathan was recorded while on a Giri Pradakshina in August of 1973. Bhagavan's teaching is so direct and yet so simple, Swami Viswanathan. Bhagavan has emphasized that it is the natural state of our being. Somehow, we have forgotten it, our own reality, and we have to remember it by vichara, inquiry, by devotion. One gets that experience of samadhi after many years, after a whole life of sadhana. So, I am translating that part of talks with Sri Ramana Maharishi, in which Bhagavan says, "You are always in samadhi. Even when we are interested in doing work, we are only in samadhi." By samadhi, I mean the self. Samadhi and the experience of the self are not different. It is there as the background. Whether we know it or not, whether we recognize it or not, it is there. Bhagavad, yes, they say that it takes a lifetime of practice to experience samadhi. Swami Viswanathan, what are known as vasanas is the inclination of the mind towards objects. The extroverted mind is so strong that it takes a long time to correct it and bring it back into the heart. This is not the achievement of anything new, but distilling of the mind by practice, by japa, by bhakti, by nama sankirtanam, or by meditation or vichara. The object is to still the mind. Bhagavan has quoted this from the Bible also. "Be still and know that I am God." One of the works that Bhagavan has translated is the Devika Lotaram. It says, "Tadeva janma safalyam." That is the achievement of life's tapas, janma safalyam, and that is true learning, panditiyam idameva hi chalad vayusamam chittam nishchalam grihatehi yat. It is the art of making the mind still. The mind is always wavering. Difficult it is to make it still. That is the greatest thing of all. And that is the achievement of a life of tapas. Because when the mind is made still, one gets in tune with the infinite self within. There is nothing beyond it. Footnote: Tadeva janma saphalyam panditya midamevahi chalad vayusam chittam nishalam grihatehi yat. When one adopts the practice sadhana by means of which one's mind, which is restless like the wind, is made still perpetually, then the purpose of taking birth as a human being is fulfilled. That is also the mark of a true scholar. Devika Lotaram, verse 37. He, Bhagavan, would say to the devotees, "Don't worry that by your Herculean efforts, you are going to get something in the distant future. It is already achieved. It is there with you. Only on account of the fickleness of the mind, it is not experienced. So, by some method or other that appeals to you, try to make your mind still without worrying about it, because it is already achieved. It is not new." He is the true guru who at once removes the anxiety of the devotee that comes to him. He does not advise a long course of sadhana that after so many years you will achieve something. Immediately, as soon as one goes to him, one experiences the great calmness of Bhagavan. It is so powerful that everyone automatically has to be still in his presence, and anyone who visits Bhagavan feels like coming again and again to him. That is what Paul Brunton also wrote in his first book, A Search in Secret India. Brunton was puzzled when Bhagavan did not turn towards him at all. He asked him to sit. Then he remained as usual, looking at nothing, looking at the window at the other end. He didn't seem to be conscious of my existence, of even being there. Then, after a few minutes, as my mind began to get calmer and calmer, I felt as if a steady river of peace was flowing near me. The fragrance of a forest flower was being wafted. Then my thought-tortured brain found real rest for the first time in my life, wrote Brunton. Swami Viswanathan commenting while walking, "This place is called Durvasa Ashrama. This rishi is reputed to be the angry sage who cursed Shakuntala in the drama of Kalidasa. She was lost in the thought of the husband who had forgotten her. This muni passed that way and he felt that she did not notice his presence or give him due respect and then cursed her. All the individual sages have got their own individual traits. They are beyond the gunas, the three gunas, yet they have got their own peculiarities. Their anger only purifies. I have seen Bhagavan in anger sometimes," Swami laughs. "The moment he gets angry, there would be an alarm sent out everywhere. Everybody would be on the alert. But the next moment, Bhagavan would be laughing. Everyone laughs. It was all feigned. Also, this sage Durvasa is reputed to be a great devotee of the mother. So, I wrote a verse on him. It is called Krodha Bhaktara. Bhaktara means Jnanam. It is applicable to great kings as well as great sages. I found an image of this sage when I went to Kanchipuram, the abode of the mother Kamakshi, and I felt like writing a verse on him. I wrote like this: Sri Matre Charanam Bhavaja Vilasa Ullasa Harshitam Krodha Bhaktarakam Vande Bhagavantam Taponidim. He is reputed as the angry sage, but he is so immersed in the bliss of the mother that he would not injure anyone. Sri Matre Charanam Bhavaja Vilasa Ullasa Harshitam. The play of the mother is happy. Taking part in it is blissful. And he is Taponidhi, a treasure of austerity. Bhagavan, he is known as Krodha Bhaktara. Bhagavat, what was the experience of people approaching Bhagavan's presence? Swami Vishwanathan, it is but natural for anybody approaching it when there is some powerful influence to be affected by it, to be influenced by it. It is but natural and simple. Bhagavan was the self incarnate and full of that experience. He was the spirit, the Atman. He outwardly appeared as an individual, but he was the universal self. That experience was so powerful in him that anybody who has sat near him was enabled to get it, the experience. Just as you feel light and heat in the presence of the sun, in the same way, that was the experience. Look how natural it is that his experience, his mere presence, is a blessing for the whole universe. That is what Vinoba Bhave wrote when Bhagavan passed away. He got the news on his walking tour. He said that just now I have gotten the information that Ramana Maharishi has obtained Brahma Nirvana. He did not give up the body now, but did that long, long ago when he realized the self in his 17th year and discarded the body. Since there was no difference for him between life and death of the body, he gave up the body. And while thinking of Bhagavan, he continued walking. People nearby asked him, What good did Ramana Maharishi do to the world? It was only he who helped the whole world. He was not confined to his own pity. He was not confined to his own petty interests. But his interest was universal. What good did he do for the world? What am I to say to you? Ramana Maharishi's experience was such an exalted one that he had not to do anything with his mind or senses or his body. His mere presence was bliss, just as the sun's presence gives us light and heat. To be continued.